Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I appreciate Brother and Sister Schumacher. We've known them for many years, and you have a great pastor and pastor's wife.
Amen.
I'm excited about what God has for us here tonight. I honor them and their ministry of this church. It is an honor and a privilege. I know that for a pastor to turn over his pulpit, it's never an easy thing to do. He always wants to bless his congregation. He wants to make sure that the people are fed. And I hope that you will bear with me tonight as I try to do my best to deliver the word of God. I do believe that I have a word for you tonight. The Bible says, wherever two or more gather together in my name, he's in the midst of that. And if he's in our midst tonight, then there's a miracle in the house. There's a healing in the house. There's a blessing in the house tonight. Amen. Everybody say together. That's the title of my message tonight. Together. And as you're standing, if you'll open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to be reading verses 4 through 10. And I want you to pay attention to when the Word of God talks or mentions the word together. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Everybody say together. I wonder if you'd reach out to somebody that's next to you or near you. If you'd take them by the hand and shake their hand and say, "I'm so glad you're here tonight." Would you do that right now? Go find somebody and tell them you're glad they're here tonight. Everybody say together. God bless you. You may be seated. As your pastor told you, I pastor a church in northern Wisconsin where many are cold but few are frozen. I have the great privilege of pastoring a church in the small town of Elton. If you've never heard of that, that's okay. Most people in the world have never heard of Elton. Elton is a place I remember I had Brother Thomas from Madison come to preach for me, and he had said that he felt like he was going to fall off the edge of the earth when he came up there. I assured him that that's 15 miles more down the road. I am blessed today because I pastor in a small town that I can say something that some pastors cannot say. We can have in our church more people than we have in our city some Sundays. And that's a good thing, I think. Amen? In Elton, Wisconsin, there's no stoplights, no stop signs. A traffic jam is a tractor or somebody that's scared to drive. But I'm glad to be a part of that community. And then I'm glad to be a part of this community. Because you know what? I came all the way four and a half hours down here, And you know what? No matter where we go, the family of God is still the family of God. And I don't care if it's here or anywhere else in the world, when we gather together in the name of Jesus Christ, you can feel His presence. Now, you'll find out that I'm a preacher. I like to teach, and then all of a sudden, I get a little excited about the Word of God. So if I get a little excited tonight, please forgive me. Amen? We were made to be a part of a community, to be together. Part of understanding who we are is that we realize that we were never meant to be alone. In Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmate for him." And I'm thankful to have my wife with me here tonight. And she is a great helpmate, and I love her dearly. Through tragic means, it has been discovered that mankind alone will never survive. For a child left with only the bare necessities of life will grow weak and die. Without the community element, we are simply lost. And we need each other to survive. Tonight, I want to encourage you, while you are here tonight, the Bible says that because you came and somebody else came with you and you gathered in His name, He said, you know what, I want to be a part of that community. I want to be in the midst of that. I want to be in the middle of that situation, that group of people that are loving on one another. You and I need human interaction. Without it, we become disabled. I was raised in the country. I grew up in the city of Waupaca, graduated from high school there. I lived at the end of a mile and a half dead-end road. My friends lived far away from me. It made it difficult to get together. I had to walk about a mile, mile and a half, or even two at times to get to their houses. But that didn't stop me, because it's always fun to play with someone else than it was to be just by myself. Some people prefer to be alone. If you come up by us, you'll find out there's people that live out in the sticks and they don't come out and see people unless it's absolutely necessary. But I thank God they'll get out of their houses and they'll come to the house of God on Sunday or Wednesday night, and they'll worship God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. So some people prefer to be alone, but that doesn't mean that they don't need the interaction of others. They might be shy and afraid, but they still need the community of others in their life. I'm here tonight to remind you that the kingdom of God is a community of fellowship. God made us with a need for fellowship with one another. I personally, as a pastor, thank you for being here on a Wednesday night and sharing your faith and your enthusiasm about your relationship with God. That you'll put up with me, a hick from the North Woods. But the reality of the fact is we can all get together and have a good time in the name of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. God made us with a need for fellowship with others. This week I was reminded how much we need one another. When a dear friend of mine left this life, you and I need a family. You and I need friends. And you and I need a church that we can call home. We also need fellowship with God. I'm thankful tonight for the church. I'm thankful for those that greeted me. I'm thankful for you being here tonight. But I want you to know this would mean nothing if God our Father was not here with us, if Jesus Christ did not come into this house to meet and greet with you and I. I'm so thankful for the worship that was here tonight. And I encourage you, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Don't be ashamed of your voice. If you can't carry a tune in a bucket, we don't care. It's not about being prim and proper. It's about being true and honest with God. It's about a heart crying out to Him and saying, I love you, Jesus. I worship you. We need fellowship with God. Why? Because God also desires our company. That is why those that have a strong faith in God can survive great difficulty. Because they have somebody with them even when everybody else is gone. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, but I will go with thee unto the ends of the earth. With God, even when we're all alone, we are never really alone. You see, when we feel alone, we'll become afraid of everything. There was a time in my life, I grew up in the country, as I said, I was a small child. My mom and dad built a house on the end of the road. We were down by the Wapaka River, and we were one of four homes that were on the end of this cul-de-sac out in the middle of nowhere, so to say. And I remember when I was very young, I was probably about in my, maybe 8 or 9 years old. My mom and dad had gone out for dinner with some friends of theirs. My brother was coming home. He was supposed to be home when I got there, but he decided he was going to stay at his friend's house. And my sister was already at an overnight place. So when I walked into our big house, I walked into an empty, dark house. I was all alone. And there, while I was there, I started just feeling uneasy. I started seeing things that weren't there in the windows. I started hearing things. And so you know what I did? I ran around. I turned everything on that I could turn on. And I closed the curtains that I could close. But it never got any better. No matter what the noise is, no matter what the distractions I had, the fear would not go away. It kept growing and getting stronger to the point, you know what I did? I went to this one room. It was a small little bathroom off of our living room. It had a sliding pocket door on there and no windows, just a small little bathroom. And I went in there, turned the light on, and brother, you know what? Talk about pushing back the darkness. There was no darkness in that room. When you turn the light on there, there was no darkness. So I had the light on. I locked the door. And I got down on my knees at 9 years old, and I began to pray. You know what I prayed? God, please send somebody. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's my brother who I'm not getting along with. I don't care if it's my sister who wants to be my mom all the time. I don't care who it is. Send me somebody. I prayed and I prayed, God, please send somebody to come into my house. Somebody to rescue me. You see what happens when we become afraid? We do exactly what I did. We try to fill our lives with all kinds of noise. And I don't care how old you might be. When you feel like you're alone, if you've come into this place tonight and you feel all alone, there's a fear within your heart. And I want you to know you're not alone. You weren't alone before you got here. You're not alone here, and you're not going to be alone when you walk out the doors because Jesus wants to be with you. I'm amazed when I go through the Christmas season, when I read about the accounts of Jesus Christ and we think about all of the different things. They say that His name shall be called Emmanuel. He's named. I'm with you.
I'm going to say that again. His name means I am with you. I want to remind you tonight that God is for you. He's not against you. He is with you. He wants to bless you. He wants to anoint you. He wants to care for you. He wants to provide for you. And he wants to protect you. I was so thankful when I heard my mom crying out for me as she walked into the house. I burst out of the bathroom, ran to my mom, hugged and kissed on her, and was so thankful somebody was home. And she asked me, "Are you okay?" "Oh, I'm absolutely fine. I just had to go to the bathroom." I didn't tell her I was in there for an hour and a half waiting for her to come home. Isn't it like us when somebody asks us how we're doing? We put on our mask. The house of God is not a place where we wear masks. It's not a place that we should get a mask. The house of God is a place, the altar of God is a place where we should leave our mask behind. When we can come before God, you know what? He already knows what you're going through. He already knows where you've been. He knows if you've been afraid or not. My wife came home when I was in my 20s, had all the lights on in the house. She goes, "How come all the lights are on in the house?" "I was afraid." It doesn't matter how old you are. And you know what? At least I'm willing to admit it. I've had numerous times where I've been in situations where I felt fear. God put fear in our life to protect us. Can you say amen? Not to torment us. I'm preaching to somebody here tonight. Somebody here tonight needs to let go of the fear that torments you. You need to let God have his way. You need to realize, you know what? He doesn't condemn you. He wants to forgive you. He doesn't want you to be somewhere off by yourself. He wants you to know that he's nigh and near each and every one of us. I remember a time I came home. I came to my house. My wife was gone. The kids were gone. I was there all by myself. I felt like I was as far away from God as I'd ever been. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like God's a million miles away? But do you know that the Word of God says he's near and nigh each and every one of us? He said, "I'll never leave you." So if there's a distance, it's not God. It's right here. And I remember walking into my living room, sitting down in the recliner. And I said, "God, I don't feel you in my life. I need to feel you. I feel like I'm lost. I feel like something's missing. I need to know that you are here." And all of a sudden, I heard the Word of God ring into my mind. And he said, "I told Peter that he needed to forgive. If you've got something in your life you need forgiveness for, he told Peter, I want you to forgive seven, not just seven times in a day, but seven times 70. And you know what I found out? I found out God told me, he says, "If I required that of Peter, what do you think that I require of myself?" And I said, "God, are you telling me that I need to ask you for forgiveness?" He said, "Why don't you just do that?" And so, God, I said, I started cleansing my heart and my mind before him. I said, "God, if there's anything that's coming between me and you, I want to get it out in the open. I want you to forgive me. I want you to cleanse me." And I got done with that, and I said, "God, I still don't feel you." And all of a sudden, I heard the Word of God ring true again. It says that he inhabits the praises of his people. And so there in my living room, without any music, no tambourine or drummer or guitarist, nothing wrong with those things, but I just slipped my hand up into heaven and I began to worship him. And it wasn't, I tell you, it wasn't very long at all, and all of a sudden I felt a tear well up in my eye and I began to cry before God, and his presence came down in my living room. Folks, I want you to know he's near and nigh you right now. It doesn't matter how far. He's not far away from you. And what really matters is how far are you away from him. If God knew what I needed that day, I want you to know he knows what you need today. And what you need today is some fellowship. If God knows our greatest need is fellowship, then we need to realize it today as well. Listen to the word of God. It says here in James 1:27, it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Notice what he listed first. He didn't say, I want you to be pure and holy. And I believe God wants us to be pure and holy. He wants us to be unspotted from the world. Can you say amen? But isn't it interesting that God places the care of those that have lost their family above personal holiness? It isn't that God isn't concerned about our personal spiritual condition, but we must realize that holiness alone will not be enough. He wants us to be pure. He wants us to have a good relationship with him. But if we don't know how to love our neighbor, we really will never know how to love him. We need to realize that God will judge us by how we treat our fellow man. How we treat others will determine our eternal destination. Matthew 25:40 says, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. When you look at your neighbor and you shook their hand today, you didn't realize that you were shaking God's hand. You didn't realize that you were looking into the eyes of Jesus Christ, because he's going to judge you and I by how we treat one another. What you've done to the least of these, my brethren, he said, you've done to me. Years ago, I was involved in a Sunday school department in Wisconsin, and I enjoyed the time. I love children. I pray that God will bless each and every one of them. Can you say amen? I think God loves, we're all children of God. If you didn't know that, the Bible calls us children. We don't grow up. He's always going to be our father. We're always going to be his children. But I used to tell people, you know what the Bible says? God gets a little bit upset when we mess with his kids. He said, if you offend one of these little ones, it'd be better if a millstone was hung about your neck and you were cast into the depths of the sea. And you know what? I started thinking about that. God, if you'll get that upset when I mess with them, when I offend them, when I damage them, what will you do if I'll bless them? Folks, I wonder what God would do if we started blessing one another. I wonder what kind of love would come into our midst, what kind of presence of God would come if we came to every service and we dedicated ourselves to blessing our brothers and sisters, praying for their needs and ministering unto them. Is this okay? So how we treat others is a direct reflection of our relationship with God. What is the great commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it. Jesus said, the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, he said, if you'll love your neighbor as yourself, then you'll love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Because you can't love God without loving your neighbor. It's more than us just having a relationship with God tonight. We were created. Everybody say created. We were made to be together. We were made to be together. You see, it's the young and the weak that many times drift away from the herd and become the prey of the enemy. It's the family of God that should protect those that are vulnerable. There isn't anything like the family of God. If I have trouble in my life today, folks, I won't be calling upon my earthly family for help. I'd be reaching out to my heavenly family. Proverbs 27 and 10 says, "Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother that is far off." You see, the wisdom of God tells us that we need each other in our lives. I need you. And you need me. We're in this thing together. It's not about big I's and little U's. I want to remind you today that God has a love for you that will never end. And He wants it to grow. As I said tonight, as we gather together in His name, there's healing in the house. You know, healing is connected to our fellowship. When we gather together, God's anointing is present. The Word tells us that believers, the one thing as a pastor, I always found it difficult. They always seem to say, "Pastor, would you come and pray for this one? Pastor, would you come?" The Bible doesn't say, "And the pastor shall lay hands on the sick." It says a believer can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Can you say amen? If you're here tonight and you've got sickness in your body, it doesn't stand a chance if the believers will stand up and say amen. If the believers will say, I've got some way of touching them, I can heal you, I can bless you because I'm here in Jesus' name. We cannot get that from a recorded television program, a radio, CD, jump drive, or computer file. Praying for someone over the phone is good, but healing really comes when we're together, being connected, having community. I like that word community. If you really look at it, it is a compound word. There are two words that are connected together, and that's common unity. When we're together, together isn't just about being here. It's about being of one mind and one accord. And when we're together, the Bible says that He will pour out His Spirit. It was on the day of Pentecost when they were of one mind and one accord, when they were in the upper room together, that God's Spirit was poured out. And it's why you felt His presence here tonight, is because we are of like faith together. Healing also comes through sharing. When we begin to share our life experiences and our weaknesses with others, it opens the door for healing. James 5 and 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that ye may be healed. For the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." We can pray for one another. You know what? Just the fact that I came here tonight and confessed to you that I had times when I was afraid, there's actually healing in that. Because you can say, you know what, hey, if he can say he was afraid, then maybe I can come clean tonight and say I was afraid too. Have you ever been afraid? Every one of us have at one time or another. Have you ever felt alone, even in the middle of a big crowd? Even with all kinds of noise all around you? The benefits of Christian fellowship are far more than the negatives. Can you say amen? And I want to tell you, I came here to tell you tonight, keep loving people. Even if you've been discouraged and hurt, keep loving people. For loving people is worth the risk. For we were made to be together. If you look at the benefits of Christian fellowship, the Bible says that the family of God is the grace and the mercy of God to us. Even when we were dead in sins, He hath quickened us together in Christ. By grace are ye saved. They put that in parenthesis right behind that. And then He said, He's raised us up together. And He's made us sit together in heavenly places as we are here tonight. The grace of God provided us with the church. Would you say thank God for the church, for the body of Christ? It is God's grace for you. This body here is where we find forgiveness. It's where we find freedom. It's where we find our lives. We can receive the strength that we need to walk out those doors and face the fears of our lives. To tell the devil to get on out of the way, because I've got somebody in me that's greater than him. You see, we were made to be just the way we are, in need of each other, in need of our God. For He commended His love towards us and died for us while we were yet sinners. Jesus loved you before you ever loved Him. And some of you are going to come in contact with people that you're going to need to love before they'll ever love you. Let me encourage you, love them. Love them. Be the body of Christ. Be Christ to them. And through His body, let us love those that walk through the doors of this sanctuary. How many here are thankful for the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ? Without it, we are lost. The Bible says that I am washed by the blood of the Lamb. Did you know that when we shut off ourselves from the body, we are shutting ourselves off from the blood? The Bible says that we are members, every one of us. Every one of us. And let me tell you something, He's not coming back after a pinky. He's not coming back after a finger. He's not coming back after an arm or a leg. He's coming back for His body. And you know what? It's only a body is only alive when the head is attached to it. I'm thankful for the body of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to be a part of His body. I want to encourage you, every time the doors of the church are open, you need to be in church. You need to be in the presence of God. You need to be fellowshipping with His body. You know why? Because that's where the blood flows. Let me read to you out of 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7. It says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Wow. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Because when we're connected, the blood can flow. fellowship with Him is connected to our fellowship with each other. And our fellowship together directly ties us to the cleansing blood of the Lamb, the continuing flow of His blood in our lives that began the day we were born again of the water and of the Spirit. For on that day you were born into a family. It wasn't just a personal experience. You became brothers and sisters in Christ. Tonight I want to just close with this last thought. And I thank you for allowing me to be a part. Thank you, brother and sister Schumacher, for inviting me to come here tonight. And I hope that I've blessed you with the word that I've brought to you. I want to remind you of something else, though. I'm going to tell you one thing. Dealing with the difficulties that were on the inside of the ark sure beat the difficulties that were on the outside of it. And today, the church is our ark of safety. It may not be perfect, but it's only the only thing that's going to get you and I through the storm. I want to be in the ark. I want to be a part of His church. Our hope tonight goes beyond what this world can offer. Would you stand with me tonight? I don't know where you're at tonight. You may be just fine. You may say, yeah, I heard all this. I believe all that. That's great. But you also might be here tonight. Someone might be here tonight that says, you know what? Something's pricked in your heart and you want to make a move towards God a little bit deeper and realize that the family of God is vitally important to you. It all starts where in one place. It all starts at an altar. Our hope goes beyond this world and what it offers. And the Bible says that one day you and I will be separated from this world and we'll go home to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's recorded in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. And it says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. One day we're going to be caught up together. You don't even know me, but I need you. I don't even know you, but you need me. We need one another. You need your brother and your sister. I love the song that says, you're my brother, you're my sister. So take me by the hand. And maybe tonight, husband can grab the hand of a wife. A brother could grab the hand of his real sister. Maybe a guy friend can grab the hand of another guy. Another girl could grab another girl and bring them to the altar. Because we need one another. And our lives are changed right here in the presence of Almighty God. Would you lift your hands towards heaven? I want you to know if you need a miracle tonight, it's here for you. If you need healing in your life, it's here for you tonight. Whatever you might need, it's here for you right here, right now. Would you make your way out? Would you come to this altar? Will you lay your mask down? Will you say, God, here I am. I want you to know me the way I am. I want you to help me to love my neighbor as myself. I want you to help me to love my brother and my sister. I want you to help me to love the body of Christ and be willing like you to give my life for it. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As they sing, reach out to God right now. Reach out to Him and bless His holy name.